Welcome back to another episode of Coucho Unplugged. Serie A with another hectic weekend from both sides of the table. But we're going to start with the Rome Derby that took place on Sunday. Not necessarily surprising in the sense that Roma won, but in the manner in which they won was sent shockwaves through Italy. I'm going to let you go first on this because I know you watched the game yesterday, and then I'll add my 2 cents afterwards. So what were your thoughts on that, and what would you take from the game?
Tammy Abraham, holy shit. I mean, first you had Tammy Abraham scoring within the first minute following a corner, and like, so that gave them the 1-0 lead in the first minute, which is huge. Then you had, I think it was like in the 30 something minute, he gets the assist from, I think it was Cristante.
And Cristante sets up the pass, and then it went. It was very confusing because it went through like three people so quickly. It went to Oliveira, to Cristante, who hit that pass, and then it was Karsdorp to Mkhitaryan, or vice versa, and then the cross comes up in, and we know the rest.
Yeah, and then Abraham finds the back of the net yet again. Oh, man, this guy is, ever since coming to Roma, has been absolutely phenomenal. And then the proverbial nail in the coffin, you had that screamer following during a free kick situation, and then that just solidified everything. Then on the flip side of things, you had Lazio, who created opportunities but just could not get any momentum going with how well Roma defended in this match. And so Lazio eventually were trying everything they could, but just could not find the back of the net. And what's the name of your goalkeeper? Patricio Ruiz, right?
Close. Rui Patricio.
Okay. Right church has me. I appreciate you say right church runs you. Close enough. So, but yeah, I mean, he was saving anything that came his way, and literally that he has been the goalkeeper that Roma has desperately needed for years.
He's the goalkeeper of the season, isn't he?
I would have to say yes. He will definitely be on the team of the season for me. That's for sure.
I think we're at a point now where all of us, anyone who has a team of the season sheet ready, there's already one name on it, and it's him. I think, because if you look at like the other positions, you could make arguments for a lot of different people, but it seems like it's just for goalkeeper. I think it's pretty straight line. I know some Milan fans will probably throw their goalkeeper on there, but I think for the most part, I think he's just, I don't even think it's an argument anymore. It's like everyone's, team of the season has one name on it, and it's his. And you know, like you said, he came up with the saves he needed to make, but the craziest part about this game is he didn't have to do much. You know, he ended up with like a six on the match rating, but that's only because he faced very little attention. And there was the Immobile one-on-one in the first half where he had saved. And then there was the Luis Alberto chance. But outside, I think those were the only two chances that were in his vicinity. Everything else either misfired wide or didn't have sort of it, and so on and so forth. But anyway, continue.
But yeah, I mean, the major real takeaway is Tammy Abraham continues to prove a vital part of this Roman team and has been very dominant. And then it also shows that Lazio just don't have what it takes. And luckily for Roma, they get the big win. And I think you guys are now in fourth place, right?
No, I wish. We're tied for fifth, but I remember Atlanta has a game in hand.
But yeah.
Real quick before I go, obviously Tammy did great. You probably know this because it's everywhere, but 23 goals this season, which is the best debut season as far as a striker that Roma have ever had, according to numbers. Gabriel Batistuta had 21 his first season, and Vincenzo Montella had 21 his first season. So that's the standard that he is playing to this season. I think it's just been great. You know, Chelsea spend 97 million Lukaku. He's got what, 9-10 goals a season, something like that. Roma spent 34 million plus Adams, which I think goes to 40 maybe after all bonuses are met. And he's got 22. Big difference there. And I think even if you look at, you know, Dzeko Abraham wasn't a swap, and Dzeko's been very good this season. At least his numbers are. His performances lately have been but we'll get onto that later. Generally speaking, if you look at the two deals, which is the Chelsea one and the Inter one, Tammy Abraham is outperforming both of them. And he could go for maybe 30. I'd be, you know, 24 was the second highest Dzeko total in his 6 years. But I would love to see him get 30, because remember, Roma still have the Conference League. So that's at least, if they make the final, it's another five games plus the last eight games that we have in the league. So he could get to that 30 mark. He also leaves the Derby with two new trainers, as he made a bet with Rick Karsdorp and Chris Smalling that if he scored, they'd buy him a trainer, which is, you know, you know what I'm talking about, right? That the warm-up thing. So he's been great. Obviously, that's the big takeaway. But my guy, like the Pellegrini goal was, like, for me though, was the coolest thing on the night, because he hit that with the inside of his foot. Because from those ranges, obviously you can see guys hit long free kicks like that. But you very rarely is the person in that position hitting it with the inside of his foot. You know, they're usually hitting it from the top of the boot, because just so you know, so when you come forward through for a free kick and step up, the top of the boot has more power than the side. So the side is usually more about accuracy, trying to place it somewhere. But usually from long distance like that, it's uncommon for someone to use the side of their boot to sort of collect. Just for perspective, we've briefly talked about my free kick success in high school. I very, very rarely use the inside of the foot. It was because a lot of my free kicks were power and accuracy, but mostly power. So I, in that situation, from I think it was like 40 meters out, for him to connect from that part of his foot over the wall into a place where no one could get it. What were your thoughts on that, that incredible goal?
That goal from that distance was absolutely orgasmic. Because all I saw was the ball go into the back of the net. I'm like, whoa, wait, where did the ball go? I'm like, oh, there it is. I mean, obviously you had just stated that the inside of the boot is more so for your accuracy goals, finding like the spot to put it in and get it very precise, versus the top of the boot, which is mostly used for power. But I mean, I don't know if it was just me, but the inside of his boot looked like it both had accuracy and power, because that was amazing.
Yeah, so, I think he hits power on it. I've looked at this goal back about 100 times since it happened, but if you look at the goal, he hits it with power, but the way the ball moving is actually more accurately placed. He just hits it with a lot of oomph, which allows the ball to travel. But you could see the way the ball was hit. It was more of an accurate sort of ping into the top corner, which was incredible. And that was his third of the season. He had the one against Kyle Gallari, who ended up winning the game. And then he had the one against Juventus, but didn't matter because we lost the lead in 7 minutes. But this one, crazy. You know what's funny about that, though? Do you know the picture that I posted? You know the one.
I think so.
The one with my face in it.
Oh yeah, that one. That was funny.
Yeah. Wait. When I commented, had you watched the game yet? I'm just curious.
No, I actually didn't. Okay. Like...
Because the funny part, because I replied and said, if you saw the goal, you would understand my reaction. But the funny thing about that is when before that happened, we were winning 2-0, and I was going to take a picture of my screen and post it. But I held off in case he scored a free kick, and he did. It was just kind of really funny. I mean, obviously, the big talking points is – and obviously, I think the second goal deserves a lot of praise too, because of how many bodies it went through before Tammy Abraham hit it out of the air. Because you look at sort of the Sir Olivero doesn't do much with it. He just gives it to Cristante. He was holding it while and he was surrounded by somebody, but he just hands it off to Cristante. And then Cristante threads one of the best through balls I've ever seen in my life. And that was like a 30-yard pass or something into I don't remember who had it. It was either Mkhitaryan. I think it was Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan had it, and then he hit it to Karsdorp, who hit it in the air, and then again, Tammy Abraham flies through the air with his foot and just kaboom. We don't need to break down every goal, but I'm curious to what you thought or your thoughts were on the movement of that goal.
That was absolutely orchestrated. Obviously, you started a counterattack on the defensive side of things, but then you saw like everybody getting a chance leading up to the goal itself, and it was just very orchestrated from start to finish. I mean, good God, the choreography. As they say, it was poetry in motion.
Yeah, and I think another interesting part of the goal is you see the guy on Paramount that I'm not a big fan of actually made a few good points on Sunday. But what he highlighted what Tammy Abraham was doing as far as his positioning before that come in. So he played himself onside, and then I mean the finish is crazy though, because he just flies through the air. Well, almost like Ibrahimovic with the finish, which was incredible. I think as far as the overall performance though, I think the back five from Mourinho was genius. And I think this was a big Mourinho moment, because now, you know, I've been harsh the last couple of weeks. I'm going to back off, because to do what he did from a tactical standpoint, and obviously the quote about Sarri and his team was smoking cigarettes while Rome were playing in the Conference League 3 days before that, which is hilarious. But anyway, so playing the way he did and the performance he got from his team, you know, I'm not convinced that this type of job is the right for Mourinho, but I think given what he has done, what he did in that game, the importance of that game, I think we need to give him time and the benefit of the doubt. By next season, if we're not challenging for the Champions League and really involved in it, then it will be, the question will be answered. But I think we have to give Mourinho another transfer window to build this team. Because, I mean, look around this team. There's a lot of talent here. And Zaniolo didn't play a single minute of that game, and we still crushed them. As far as sort of a lot of different things that kind of contributed to all of that, you see the way they played. And the back five was genius, because every time Immobile, Savic, Alberto, Pedro, every time those guys start to create something in the middle of the park or middle of the pitch, whatever you want to say, you saw Smalling and Ibanez push forward with having Mancini tuck back for sort of as a safety blanket. And then obviously you had Karsdorp on one side and Zalowski on the other. But every time those guys push forward, Lazio felt under pressure and they collapsed. They lost the ball. And you notice that Lazio didn't do very much in this game. They couldn't do very much in this game because of that. Their plan was to build through the midfield and feed into the attack. And the Mourinho decision to play with a back five and having those guys push forward, cornered them, and they didn't really have another alternative. They didn't have another situation they could deal with, and they didn't have a backup plan. And this is why Lazio embarrassed themselves. They didn't have a backup plan. What if this what if Roma does this? And they're sitting high on their mighty horse, top of, point ahead of Roma before this game. They had beaten us the previous time. Their last five games against us is very good from their point of view. But sort of they didn't expect what happened, and everything kind of broke down. And again, this is such a big win for Roma because Mourinho gets some praise here. You look at all the individual pieces that played so well. Cristante was amazing. And he's been a little inconsistent this season, but I mean, you can just see from that pass the progress, and there's a lot of quality here, and Roma just needs a little bit more to put it all together. So on and so forth. But from your point of view, I have one more thing after this and then we'll move on to another game. But, from your point, sorry. From your point of view, obviously Lazio had a stinker. They were embarrassed. They were humiliated. They didn't show up to the biggest game of the season. And all their fans crying on Twitter and stuff, which is amazing. But why do you think it went so wrong? Because remember, Immobile comes into this game, top of the score of the league, one of the best players in the league this season, wants to fight for player of the year and all these things. And he's the guy who always kind of wounds Roma, but did nothing. They need to put his face on the end of a milk carton because he disappeared as well as the others. But Immobile is a player that needs to step up. So why do you think Lazio played so poorly and were unable to handle what Roma put forward?
Hang on, first and foremost, Hero Immobile on the back of milk carton part two. but I mean, I think it's just that they didn't have a lot of like momentum to begin with. Like, they looked more sluggish than they normally are.
Panicky?
Yeah, they looked more like panicky, and there wasn't really any like game plan, it looked like. How could you have a backup plan if Roma did this when you don't even have a plan of attack to begin with to start off?
So, real quick, do you think the way they played has to do with how fast it started for Roma? Do you think maybe that had to do with it, or do you think kind of in another direction?
I think you hit the nail on the head, because once that goal was scored, they kind of went into the panic mode. And when usually certain teams are able to handle pressure very well, but then there's teams like Lazio where sometimes if things like fall apart within like the first few minutes, they go into panic mode and then they don't play as assertive as they should. So I think that pretty much was one of the major reason why they couldn't do anything throughout the rest of the match.
Yeah, and this is I talk about this all the time. Statistic only means so much, and it's something that you and me we discuss a lot. Just trying to paint the picture sometimes. But Lazio had more possession. I think they had over 60% possession in this game. They had more passes. I think they had over 100 more passes than Roma. Their passing accuracy was higher. They literally led everything in so many different categories, but it didn't matter because Roma took their chances. Again, this is a Mourinho masterclass that we saw. Sorry, had to probably smoke a pack of cigs when he got home after the game because of how incredible Roma played. And they had very little response to anything that was done. They tried to make changes. Didn't really work. I admire Lazio for trying to get themselves back into him, but it just didn't work. They were just swallowed by the back five, and Pedro had a decent chance at the end of the first half. Beginning of the second half, which he mishandled. Rui Patricio had to make one or two saves, but for the most part, he didn't have to do much. Roma had kind of controlled this. And again, when you start that poorly, it is hard to undo it. Because, by the way, I think something that people don't realize is, you know, the Tammy goal where he hit off the corner, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That situation was not a cross. A lot of people who maybe aren't paying super attention, Pellegrini fully intended to try to score from the corner. That was his intention, because if you look the way the ball comes in, it's not coming in as a cross. It's not coming in as a pass. It's coming in as someone who's trying to score from the corner, which is such an ambitious thing to do in the first minute. It wasn't even 1 minute. The first minute of a derby, and then obviously it clicks off the bar, and then Tammy's there to rifle it in. But yeah, and then all these things like Roma was efficient in front of goal. They probably could have scored more. Right after they had scored the third, Mkhitaryan hits the bar. So it's just like it was total control, and I think this is my opinion. I think this is Europa League. We'll figure out, but I think Roma basically just made the Europa League somehow. I don't know if it's qualifying automatically or having to qualify in the summer, but I think they've confirmed their spot after that. And I don't think Lazio will finish ahead of them now. It's only 2 points, and Roma could drop an egg in their next game. But I think all things considered, I think you look at the situation and the way Roma played in a derby, that they were screaming. You saw the flags that from at the end of the game with Mancini. And I thought this was funny. Do you remember when they got into a scuffle, Karsdorp and I forgot who? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I saw that.
There's two things. The one where and Mancini, he intended to do it, which made me love him when he elbowed the guy in the face. Did you? Because that's what started the first one. But he's running and he plays it off as if he didn't try to elbow him, and he certainly did. I thought that was hilarious, just because he wholly intended to do it, because it's kind of like that Roma thing, like fuck these guys. But what I thought was more funny is when Karsdorp and I don't know who it was. It might have been a Serbi, it might have been Lazari. I'm not sure who it was from Lazio. When the guy fell down and they were getting to each other, and you can see Karsdorp mouth the words get up," which was hilarious, because he's just like, you know, Karsdorp, who's been through a lot to be such an important part of this Roma team. It's having to go back on loan, and he's gone through injuries issues, but last two seasons he's been phenomenal. And for him to have that personality and attitude just to kind of thing, do that, I thought was funny. And the other interesting thing about this is there were the two scuffles, but there were very little bookings for a derby, which I thought was interesting. And so on and so forth. And I think Lazio's effect on this and Roma's effect is going to swing one way or another. Real quick, what's take as much time as you need, but what do you think the impact of both of these teams are based on the result?
Like, in what sense?
Like, in terms of the rest of the season, do you think this result is going to, for Lazio and Roma, do you think it will change the season based on the emotions of this game and the result that they got?
This will turn it more into Roma's favor, because we've seen Lazio, even under Inzaghi, where they would do so well for a while, but then they would just fall further down the table. And then it's continuing here a little bit. But I think, if anything, Roma will obviously will finish above Lazio this season, I feel. And I feel like you guys, if you get everything goes according to plan, you may finish in the Europa League spot, but we shall see. But if anything, I would see maybe no worse than having to qualify during the summer.
Yeah, real quick, just gut feeling. So there's fifth automatically, sixth is Europa League also, and seventh is, you know, Mickey Mouse Conference League or whatever you want to call it. Don't get me wrong. If we win that, I'm going to celebrate like crazy. But we've talked about the difference between a team like Roma and a team like Union Berlin. It's just mentally, it's more important to a smaller club. Anyway, what gut feeling, Atalanta, Roma, do you think there's a possibility that Roma could take fifth and Atalanta could slip out? What's your vibe? Which team do you think finished in front? Just your gut feeling.
Based on my gut right now, I say Roma because of how inconsistent Atalanta have been recently. And without Duván Zapata, and depending on when he comes back from injury, it's just going to be hard for them to really keep up, especially against bigger clubs where those points become real crucial. So if I like, my gut is saying Roma will finish ahead.
Yeah, that would be a great season too. I hope. Again, I like Atalanta, but again, it has to be one of us. And I'd rather finish fifth and sixth. Like, it's just considering how the season's gone. Real quick, one more thing before we move on. We talked about him briefly through Messenger. The young kid playing for Roma, who got a standing ovation when he was subbed off, Nikola Zalewski, Polish youngster that Roma was playing not Karsdorp, but on the other side. What were your thoughts on him? 20 years old. We've been hearing about him in Roma circles for many years and what he's been doing at the academy and the Primavera. He's come on. He's played. He's been playing. Not regular game time, but he's been he's been getting some top minutes with the first team. Just from a neutral point of view, what were your thoughts on what you saw from a kid so young playing so well in a game like this?
Absolutely phenomenal is how I'm gonna phrase it. I mean, he was doing really good, keeping the momentum during the whole match. He knows how to do well with assists along with playing a defensive role when needed. I see him as a very versatile player, and I could see him becoming even in the seasons to come, becoming a valuable piece to this Roma team.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's spectacular to play like that at 20 years old, is incredible. And I think Spinazzola is going to come back in a month, I think. And he'll probably get more game time. But I want him to continue to get more and more opportunities because he's proven that he's capable of it. And when Spinazzola comes back, I don't want him starting right away. So I think you should keep him there as far as that. And I think, you know, you can go out and try to find another player that at the position for depth or whatever. But I just don't think it's necessary. There are other positions Roma need to fill, but I think Zalewski is not only has he solidified himself, at least for the rest of the season, he's proven to be a person who can be a key piece of this Roma puzzle, which means maybe Calafiori, who's on loan at Genoa now, or I think Genoa, or no, it's Cagliari, I forgot one of them, may not have as big of a future at Roma as we thought. And he's basically, given his performances, has basically sent Maitland-Niles back to England. I mean, he's still going to be sitting on the bench for Roma for the rest of the season, but there's no sense in keeping him trying to buy him permanently. He's not playing very much, and the reason he's not being playing very much is because of that the young kid. All right, we're going to run through some of these other ones. It was match day 30, right? Last week, I think so. Yeah. All right. I'm just gonna go through these quickly. Sassuolo takes out the trash and pounds Spezia with a 4-1 victory. I'll speak on this first. Sassuolo's climbing the table. Spezia is back into a unfortunate relegation situation. Scamacca scores. Berardi gets two. I think they played well. Spezia didn't really show up, even though Daniel Verde, former Roma youngster, scores for Spezia. So Swallow just rolls and so on. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, great job with great job, Skamaka. Please come to us over the summer. But I mean, yeah, they did what was needed, got the job done, and it's unfortunate that Spezia is back in this battle again, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Did you hear the thing about Skamaka though?
No.
The latest thing, there's a certain club in Milan that are have initiated contacts with his agent and stuff. I think it's very dry news because it doesn't mean anything. But there is contact. I mean, if Inter come in as well, I think Inter probably be the ones to get him, but he will be expensive, but there's lots there. I mean, this saga's long from over. But even if you don't get Skamaka, Raspadori is there for you too. So, but I mean, you obviously want both, so we're just gonna leave that at that. All right, Genoa, continue to do pretty well under Matarazzi, and they're now. I thought they were all basically relegated. They got 22 points, the same as Venezia. They don't have one loss in the last five games. They get a 1-0 against Torino. One of their 500 January signings scored for Genoa as Torino takes another loss. Still having an outstanding season, but just kind of going for a rough patch from Torino's point. What are your thoughts?
That's how you beat a team, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you beat freaking Torino. My God. But yeah, Genoa is slow. Yeah, go ahead. You can laugh a little bit.
It was in the same place too.
Oh fuck.
No, I forgot because you dropped your Genoa too. We'll get it. You'll launch when we get there. Anyway, what were your thoughts though on them getting points?
But yeah, great job to Genoa slowly getting back into the same amount of points as what is it, Spezia?
No, they're Venezia. The team with the best jerseys.
Yeah, I know. I gotta get me one of those. But yeah. Then you had Torino losing. They're still doing very well themselves, but this just like the top of the table, this relegation battle is heating up as well.
Between the two, gut feeling, Genoa, Venezia. I mean, they're on totally opposite runs of form. Venezia has four straight losses, and Genoa has zero losses in the last five. Between the two, who would you like to see survive, and who do you think will?
Well, I would love to see Venezia survive so we could keep an eye on those pretty awesome looking kits they got. But realistically, Genoa should have no issues if they do get out of it because they have the history in Serie A and they know what is needed to stay up. Where Venezia, I think, like only their second time in this league in Serie A or their first. I don't even remember.
Actually, I'm not sure. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you though. I think you have to go with the hot hand. Genoa, zero losses in the last five. Venezia's got four. So we got issues on that side of the, you know. But I have a rule, and I talk about this rule a couple times a year. What is my rule with Sampdoria and Genoa?
If one of them gets relegated, the other one has to get relegated too, so that way we don't ruin the derby.
Yeah. It's the oldest derby in Italian football. They started playing this match in 1902. That's how long these two teams have been playing. I knew it was the oldest, but when I was watching the Roma game, the pregame, it was they showed a graph of the oldest derbies in Italy. Rome was, I think, third or fourth in that group. But, yeah. So they've been playing this a long time. Sampdoria's got 29 points. I just don't think they're going to get dropped down. So that leaves Genoa to survive. So on. All right. Okay. Who we've got? Okay. Napoli, Udinese. Victor Osimhen, is he worth the money that they paid? Not yet. But when healthy, he's looking like a good player here. They come from behind to beat Udinese. 3 points off the top. My title favorites for the moment. Next week it could be different. I thought Napoli did what they were supposed to. It was tough. It wasn't an ideal situation going down early and having to pull two goals back so quickly. But they get the job done. Spalletti's doing a good job there and trying to keep pressure on the top. Udinese, obviously not going to get relegated, not going to make Europe. A tough one to swallow considering they went up first, but it is what it is. What are your thoughts on Napoli's come from behind win?
Yeah, they did what was needed, got the job done. Obviously not the most ideal situation, as you just said, going down early, but this is a team that knows what to do and knows how to make those key adjustments to get back into it, and it just proved here. And Spalletti is doing a really good job with this Napoli team, where it has versus like Inter, he may have had some struggles, but it's not okay. I'm gonna apologize now, ladies and gentlemen. Watch me apologize. I'm sorry, Spalletti. I mean, I don't think he just wasn't the man to take charge of Inter. I mean, yes, he got us in the Champions League, but he just wasn't the man to take us from that point forward. But he has done a great job with this Napoli team. So I will give credit where credit is due.
He wasn't the man to win the title for Inter, but he was the man to put you in position to then do it with somebody else. So I think, you know, all things considered, I think with Inter, he was important. I don't think you get the title with Conte without him, because he made the Inter job I know exactly what I'm trying to say, I just can't think of it. He made it interesting, attractive. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. He made the job attractive for Conte to come get it, because if Inter are finishing fifth and sixth during those 2 years or something, I don't think Antonio Conte's coming to Inter. I just don't think he is. Again, a lot of the credit does go to Conte, what he was able to do with that team and the way he was able to redefine it. But I think Spalletti does get a lot of credit. He brought them back into the Champions League. He made it a second time. I mean, you weren't able to do it in the end. You know, didn't make it out of the group. You did make the quarterfinals of the Europa League, but got knocked out by Frankfurt. That was a good Frankfurt team, by the way. It was a very good Frankfurt team, but all things considered, I think he played an appropriate role for Inter. It just had to go a different way eventually. But you know, like you said, he's doing a terrific job at Napoli. He's my favorite for me. Napoli's my favorite at the moment. What about you?
Yeah, they're my favorites as well. I mean, now I'm going to have to wash my mouth out. Sorry, guys. In my intergroup chat, don't come for me later. But yeah, they're my favorites at the moment.
Yeah, until next week when I change to Ace Miller. I feel like it's just going to flip every single week. Speaking of AC Milan, they don't play particularly well. Ishmael Benacer scores in the second half to get a 1-0 against Cagliari. They were pretty ruthless in front of the goal, but could have been better. 21 shots, six on target. I thought they handled themselves quite well. But this is a tough game. You know, Calgary's trying to survive, they're not in the relegation zone at the moment, but they're very close to it. So this was going to be a tough place to get themselves in that situation. And that was away from home. We almost lost to Calgary away from home. There are teams who have struggled against this team, especially in that building, which is difficult. But they get the win at the end. Benaker with the winner. What are your thoughts on your neighbors?
Yeah, they didn't perform very well in this match, but they knew what was needed to get the job done. Could have done much better in certain situations, but I mean, they almost lost to Cagliari at home, but they still managed to get the points, so they still stay within striking distance of that. They are the leaders right now, right?
Yeah, they're the leaders right now, and they do have 3 points. They're the favorites for a lot of people. I just can't go there quite yet.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens, because this team could possibly win the title, but we'll see what happens on this one.
Since your team is in total dismay, would you like to hear some bad news for AC Milan?
Oh, you mean the Frank Cassidy news going
to Barcelona? I mean, I was gonna call him Frank the Tank Cassidy, but for free to Barcelona. A great deal for a team, a club that's totally broke in Barcelona. But so they got Aubameyang for free. Yeah, now they got Kessie for free. I think it's an outstanding buy from Barcelona. Again, Maldini's done a good job since I called him the worst. I called him the Michael Jordan of management, which isn't a compliment if you know the situation. But Gigi Donnarumma, Hakan Çalhanoğlu, Frank Kessie, all left on free deals. So, my goodness.
I think they like giving away people for free.
I just don't understand what the deal is. It's not like Frank Kessie was asking for $25 million a year. I'm sure he had a high – I don't know what the numbers are. He had the high price for his what he was doing or whatever, but – it's not a price that's unreasonable. They let Donnarumma walk to go to PSG, who made, I don't know, maybe a few more million than he would have made at AC Milan. Then you saw Hakan Çalhanoğlu, who left for, I think you gave him maybe a little more, but it was in the same price range. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yes, well, there's that one commercial that does auto insurance or something, or some insurance thing. It says, and free, and free, and free, and free, and free, and free. Yeah, literally. It's like, are they cleaning house? Or are they having a liquidation sale that nobody knows about? But, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with that. So, I don't know. I just really don't have a real definitive answer of what the heck is going on with all these free transfers and stuff.
Are you happy that he's leaving AC Milan though?
So long, farewell, au revoir, be to say. No, you cannot have your drink of shit.
To be honest, I'm happy he's not made. Actually, I kind of like AC Milan, but I wish he had stayed in the league. But maybe Inter lost the plot there too without trying to do it. But I'm gonna miss him in the league. But he goes to a league that I do watch, so it's gonna be fun. That Barcelona team with Xavi is gonna be really fun, especially what they did to Real Madrid this week and shot him in the backyard. Again, they're gonna win the league. They're probably going to the Champions League final, but to do what they did against them at the Santiago Bernabeu, still Roma's thunder a little bit. So I seeing him go to that team, maybe Dybala goes there as well. I really think how everything is kind of being put together in Barcelona. So I think it's a great deal for them, but it's a loss for the league because he's a fantastic player. All right. Sampdoria beat Valencia. Valencia, where goalkeeping-wise, was horrible in this game. Francesco Caputo gets 2. Sampdoria get a very valuable 3 points that keeps them away from the bottom of the table, at least for the time being. What are your thoughts on Sampdoria?
Definitely another 3 points, which could have been easily lost for them. this team is going to they're probably going to survive. There's no issue, no doubts about it. But I mean, we'll see what happens. But if one team gets relegated, you want to always say we should do. We should say, who here wants Sampdoria relegated to go along with Genoa so we can keep the derby going? And then who should stay?
Well, I think Genoa is going to survive. So I'd rather them both be in the league, rather than having to Google the Serie B streams on the internet trying to find a game between the two. So I think they're both going to survive. Do you want me to share a stat that will disgust your inner soul? I can wait. I can save it for the Inter game, or I can tell you now.
Hang on. Let me see what my brain is trying to decide. Yeah, let's go get that stat out of the way right now.
Okay, the point difference between the point difference between Genoa and Venezia is the same point difference between Roma and Inter. Both 7 points. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry about that. My phone glitched.
That's all right.
I quickly
did you hear that? Go ahead.
The stat.
What's that?
I heard what you just said about the stats.
You did or you didn't?
Did.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I just sent you. I had to back out of the app really quick to do this photo.
It's all right. Anyway. I'm not trying to be mean. I just think it's crazy.
Yeah, because, that's like, by the way, in the photo, that is my crazy face.
Because Inter were in first place for so long. Roma were in like eighth. And now it's sixth. And same for the bottom. Sampdoria was in that area. And so Venezia and Sampdoria, whatever, were out of that area. And now one is in there and one isn't. It's just kind of like, they were so, I don't know. It's almost the other thing where they were so close in the table and now it's 7 points. But 7 points is a lot, but there's still like, there's 21 points still available. That's why I think all the Champions League and relegation stuff is up for grabs for everyone.
I gotta hashtag something later in a minute.
I just think it'd be crazy if we saw like a sort of a flip on the head on either side of the table. Anyway, Juventus 2-0 against Salernitana. Dybala with an absolute brilliant goal. And Vladovic scores again, beat the bottom of the table. I know that's not for everyone, but Juventus were able to handle themselves in that situation, get the 3 points. What are your thoughts on Juventus?
By the way, based on that stat and how crazy it is, that is a hashtag mindfuck stat. Because that is insane, though.
Yeah, because my whole thing is, we're not making the Champions League. Just stop it. Because there's this... It is because of the point available. It's still possible. And I'm like, just don't be... I'm talking to people. I'm saying, don't be ridiculous. If top five for us would be amazing, we're not making the Champions League. Just chill out. But then I watched the Roma game, and I saw the table. I'm like, oh, shit. We're only 7 points behind Inter, really? You know, or whatever. And Juventus are in the range too, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. So in regards to Juventus, they did exactly what was needed, got the 3 points. Vlahovic continues to be a beacon of light in that team. And yeah, there's really not much to take away except that they know what to do to get the job done.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I agreed. Any thoughts on Dybala's impending departure?
wherever it goes, best of luck.
Do you think Inter will try to, I don't know, poke around or whatever?
Apparently there is, obviously these are all rumors at the moment, but apparently they're possibly going to go poke around and see if they could get Jamala, but we'll see what happens, because there's a lot of names being thrown out right now, especially since the transfer window is getting closer, so.
Yeah, it depends. I was talking with Nico after the Derby, when this broke, and his viewpoint is if he really loves Juventus, he won't go to Inter. And I agree with that. So if he really loves Juventus, he was their captain. So I just think, of course, it's possible. Figo went to Real Madrid from Barcelona, and they threw pig heads at him. So, you know, it won't be to that severe level. But there's always people doing that sort of thing. But I do think La Liga is the destination for him. Not based on links, not based on rumors, but just based on style and what he can do. He's welcome to come to Roma on a free if he takes a pay cut, because I don't think we can pay his salary. But it's interesting. I thought they were going to get a deal done. I think they should have got a deal done. Just pay the man what he's worth, and or else you're going to be in trouble. So Vladovic is still there, and they'll be fine. But I think that's a huge blow, especially how good he has been for Juventus for so long. All right, not much here. Empoli, Verona split. I don't really have any opinions on it. These are two teams that have had pretty great season for the teams that are standings. I know Verona's not as good as they were last year, but still a very solid team. And Empoli's been great since coming up. A point here, a point there. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, definitely. There's really nothing much to add.
All right. Now our buddies from Bergamo. I'm watching this game after Roma had won. I needed them to drop some points. It was important that they drop some points. And, you know, it kind of went the way the last couple of weeks had gone, 0-0 with Genoa the week before. It looked like they were never going to break through. There's some chances here and there, and then it looked without Sabata, they don't look the same. Only three shots on target. Bologna ran possession in so many other areas, and they did look like the better team at times. But then some 18-year-old from Atlanta comes up with 8 minutes left and scores the winner. Cisse gives them the points, which is unfortunate because they still have a game in hand. But they're on level points with Rome at the moment. A big win for them, though. They needed it. And their form hasn't been the best lately. I think this will get them back on the right track. So a good win for Alonso.
Yeah, definitely. But we'll see what happens. Because any idea of when Zapata is supposed to return?
He might have come back. He did not.
So I'm thinking next week he may return.
Hold on, just bear with me. I'm gonna check real quick. The answer is let's see, he is expected to return April 25th. So break, he'll be back. But this is just according to what I'm reading on transfermarket.com, but he's missed 17 games, and he's expected to be back April 25th, but I don't know for sure if he's going to be back April 25th, but that is the suggested time frame where he returns. I think it's really simple. If he comes back and he's what he was before, because he was so good in the early season, he got injured. He always it's just frustrating because he would have so many. I mean, he does have like a ridiculous amount of goals for Atlanta, but I think close to 90 or something like that. But if you look at all of it, if he's available more, you know, I think Alonso are in a better position than they are. But if he comes back and is what he was before, I think fifth place is theirs. But I'm holding out hope that they'll struggle without him, with him, and Roma can take it. But yeah, he should be back soon, fairly soon here, and so on and so forth. All right. Now, Inter, you know, did what they do best, choke. Obviously, a 5-minute period, Dumfries scores, and before that, Torreira scores. I mean, we know Fiorentina is a good team. We do. We know their qualities. We know what they got on board, and they've done pretty well without Vladovic. But I mean, you just got to be better than this. You're literally watching yourself fall out of the title race, and now Juventus is 1 point behind you. Did you know that?
I know.
So it's just like it's like you're doing the classic Napoli thing from past, or you know how some of these teams that Lazio from the year of the pandemic, who went from second.
That's what exactly I was in the Inter Milan group chat, and I was said the exact same thing. I'm like, you know, guys, this reminds me of Lazio during the pandemic. Like they had, it's like for me, Lazio and Napoli are the two examples of teams that usually start off hot and then they fizzle out. And then we get Simeone and Inzaghi, and I'm like, ah. Wow, here we go again.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think people forget that Lazio finished fourth that season because in my mind, they still finished second. Everyone thinks of them as finishing second because they were pushing Juventus until the very end. But then they fall apart at the end. They lose a bunch of games, and I think they ended up in third or fourth. I don't remember which. I know you guys got second that year, so Atlanta got fourth. I don't know. I don't remember. It was one of those two places, and it seems like this Inter team is going through similar things. And it's 6 points. I mean, you have a game in hand still, so maybe it's just 3 points. So you're basically the same place in that where Napoli is if they win. But still 3 points. So you have to count on someone else being able to handle and deal with AC Milan. So, you know, that's a rough one. And we played them twice, so we can't help you. What are your thoughts on the more disastrous things?
I mean, I'm not good. I hate, like I said, at this point, broken record, insert the broken record thing here. But basically, I'm just going to speak as the fan right now, not the pundit side. This is just heartbreaking. I mean, we won the title last year, then we went through all these changes, and now it seems like we're reverting back to those old habits that we worked so hard to get away from. And we all know those particular areas that I'm speaking of. And it's just sad to see the state of affairs right now. And as a fan, if I only ever see one Scudetto in my lifetime, I'll die happy. But I would like to see more. But it's just sad on how things are going right now. But I don't think Inzaghi is the right person for the job, to be honest with you.
Okay, so who is then? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the exact same thing, but
do you have any ideas, or are you just sort of
Diego, I don't know, Simeone.
You think he'll
never come?
His son said he's gonna come 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever it was. Because his son plays in Serie A. Did you know that?
Oh, what club?
Do you remember the guy who I've been calling Jeremy Lin?
Yeah.
Yeah, him for the Verona.
Oh wow.
I mean, Atletico is not having a great season. They're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League again. He's done great there. He's a legend. There's a possibility that he could become available, and we both know he's not going to England. So if he were going to go somewhere else, I don't think he'd go anywhere else in Spain. I think he'd go to Italy. So again, with that though, obviously, that would be the right manager for the job, but your style of play would be much less attractive, as you know.
Yeah, I know. I've seen him.
Let me just ask you this, and then you can kind of go into the secret. But would you rather see attractive football and push for the title, or play Diego Simeone's, defensive craziness and win? I mean, what's more important to you as far just as a fan?
As a fan, I want to see winning.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best managers in the world, and maybe he would make that move, but I think it's one of these things where it's not like Inzaghi's done a terrible job. It's just he wasn't the right person for this job to begin with. So if Inzaghi went somewhere else and did well, I don't think that would be surprising, at least to me. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. As far as the game itself, what do you think? What do you think went wrong as far as just in terms of performance?
In terms of performance, I think we played a little too reserved and weren't really taking. I mean, obviously we had more chances, but with how we addressed those chances, there wasn't a lot of like skill, like positioning of the ball to go into the back of the net, and there was just. And then defensive wise, I mean, they did a great job, but it's just, I think, in my opinion, the midfield has kind of become a little lackluster in scoring chances, where in the seasons, like the past two seasons, actually, the midfield was also working alongside the attack, where now there's no real communication between the two, and it just seems to be something lost in the translation. And while one person's going here, another person's going way over there, and there's no key communication between the players anymore. And I don't know if that's a result of how Inzaghi works or what's going on, but there just seems to be so much disconnect in the club right now, and it's just very depressing to see.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you think the midfield is the biggest thing, the thing that you want changed the most, or would you say something? I mean, obviously, we know the names that you want, but as far as what needs to be strengthened the most, do you think that is the midfield, or do you think that's something else?
I think it is definitely the midfield. I mean, there are some concerns in the attack with, like, not being able to finish those chances. But without having the midfield or getting some of those chances set up, it's kind of hard. And do I think we really need to go after this, that, and the other person? No, we have a great team, but it's just that they need to get back to what they were doing before Inzaghi and work on that communication. Because this team was doing so well under Conte and like teaching the team to be very vocal with each other and knowing where to get the ball and like in facilitating those opportunities. Whereas under Inzaghi, you see him like talk on the sidelines, but it's not as much as Conte would do. I mean, come on, Conte, Mr. gets put up in the stands every few games. But at least he was effective and knew what was needed to motivate this team. Well, there seems to be no motivation.
Yeah, no, I hear that. That Conte just brought a different type of energy, a professionalism, all of a sudden. I knew Lukaku left, but if he had stayed with Lukaku gone, I think he would have been fine. Because you have Dzeko, someone Conte admires and likes a lot, and then you have Martinez, someone he's worked with before. So, I mean, I still think you have to buy a Scamacca or Raspadori, one of those two. just because Dzeko is going to be 36 next year. And I'm not totally sure. I don't know if he'll be there next year. I think there's a possibility that he could leave Italy after the season, depending on what you need, but you need to get at least one of those two guys in there and use Dzeko Mora as like a sub and someone who can come in and do a job. But you know, I think you have to bring in somebody. And I think it's not just about, oh, you can bring this person and this person. And I think there's a lot of different situations where they need to be handling better. And again, he got you out of the Champions League round of 16. Conte never did that. So, but at the same time, I think that, you know, it's just rough at the moment because this is the best team in the league by far. It's not even close. No disrespect to Napoli I almost said Genoa, Napoli or AC Milan or Juventus, but you have the best team in the league top to bottom. So I do kind of agree it's deeper than just we need to buy this person or this person. But the midfield, are you at a point now where you would just keep Barella and just you know, spend the rest of the summer surrounding him with midfielders, other midfielders, I guess?
I would think so. That would be the best approach.
Yeah. No, it's a rough goal there right now. But you know, I think it's going to get better. I think they're going to find a, you know, whatever. Everyone's talking about because of the Chelsea situation that Lukaku's going to come back, but I don't think any of you want him back, which is the funniest thing to me, because all these English people think that that Lukaku's going to go back to Inter because he wants to go back to Inter. But Inter doesn't want to go back for him because I don't even think the issue is your attack. Your attack is good enough. Martinez had 21 goals last season. At his best, he's phenomenal. So I think it's kind of the whole makeup of the whole team. And I don't know. I just have a hard time processing the fact that you guys aren't closer to the top of the table. You should be at the top of the table. And we're going to end up with probably going to end up with someone winning it. That not to say we didn't deserve to, but that's been as far as the last 10, 12 champions in Italy, they'd be on the lower end of those teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it could be worse. You could have lost the league when you had when they had two losses and the champion of the league had five losses. In 2002, Roma won the league with less losses than Juventus. I think we might have only lost one game. So fucking lost the league. So it could be worse. And so on and so forth. Let's see. I think that's it. Next week we got Napoli against Atalanta. I'm really going to need some help from Naples. Oh God. And now we got Sampdoria and you got have Juventus.
I'm crawling underneath my blanket right now. Good night.
Did you know that?
Yeah, but fuck me. But it's not next weekend though, because we have international break, so at least we're safe for another week.
Yeah, wonderful opportunities for your players to get injured.
Well, if you're gonna say that about my players, I hope some of your players get injured too.
I was kidding. Yeah, that's
they said, karma may bite you in the ass for that.
I said knock on wood.
Where's my wood?
You can just knock on the wall. That's what I did.
That's what I just did.
I'm not saying that it could happen. I'm not saying it will happen. But we all know with international breaks, there's a risk of that. Oh, yeah. Always.
My brother actually has the name for that.
What's that?
He says, yeah, international break. More like praying your players don't get injured week.
Yeah, well, at least Tammy Abraham pulled out so of the England game. And plus, I think this week is the first the qualifiers for the World Cup, the playoff. and Italy have a big game against North Macedonia. Again, I think they should be fine, but that's good. Those are going to be highly intense matchups for them and so on. And so I'm actually really looking forward to that one. I think it'll be good.
I get no international matches to watch, so do you?
They have some on ESPN Plus actually. Lazio Sassuolo is the only other game I can really think of. That's a big that has a lot of indication of anything. Let's see here. There's these next eight games are going to be difficult for everyone. The good news is you after wait did have we played twice Inter and Roma?
I can't remember.
We've played twice, but the question is in the league, did we play twice?
I would have to look that up.
Yeah. So Inter has. I'm just gonna end this with saying what everyone has left, just because it's relevant to everything. You have Juventus next week. You have Verona after that. You have Spezia. We do match day 34. You're against Roma. The weekend my sister comes back from college. then you have Udinese. Then you have Empoli. Then you have Cagliari, Sampdoria, and then obviously you're going to still have that game in hand with who do you have in the game in hand? Bologna. Okay. Genoa or Bologna?
Anytime Bologna face Genoa, I call it the lunch meat derby now. But anyway, yeah, it's the Bologna one.
And then Roma have Roma have Sampdoria, Salernitana, Napoli. Oh, fuck you, dude. Napoli and Rome, Inter in back-to-back weeks.
Why is it always that luck for you
guys? Bologna in the beginning of May. Then we have Fiorentina, Venezia, and then Torino. I think for Roma, I think we just got to worry about Inter and Napoli. To be honest, I wish we could play you next week. You know, so that game may have been a more antagonizing proposition before the last couple of months, and it's kind of gone that way. So just real quick, I'm just going to end with this. For Inter to do what you need to get, try to get back in the title race, do you feel like you need to win everything? And of the games that you have left, which ones, other than Juventus, which ones do you think is sort of going to be a huge match for you?
Yeah, I would say we would definitely have to win. We have to pretty much be squeaky clean from squeaky clean. Okay, why the fuck not? But yeah, you all know what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. From here on out, and besides the Juventus, the team that scrapping Juventus, who do we got again?
All right, I'm going to run through it real quick. So you have Juventus, you have Verona, you have Spezia, you have obviously Bologna, you have Roma, you have Udinese, you have Empoli, you have Cagliari, you finish with Sampdoria.
I would have to say the Roma match is the one we should be concerned about, especially with the position Roma are in and how bad they want to finish within the top five. So Roma are definitely going to push Inter, and we'll see how that goes. But that is the one that's really sticking out.
Sammy Abraham hat trick coming. kidding.
Sammy Abraham.
Not kidding. I don't know what's going to happen. No, for me, it'd be Napoli. They're in a title race. They want to win the league. We've already played them at home, so we have to go there to beat them. I think that's going to be a tough one. But we'll find out when and we'll see what happens. So thank you for listening, and see you later.